Well, grace and peace to each and every one of you this morning in the name of God the Creator and Christ the Redeemer. When I was a kid, I remember distinctly one of my favorite things that I ever had in my life, that I ever received as a gift, was my first skateboard. Now, I know you might be looking at Pastor Brian right now and thinking, I don't know if he would make it so well on four tiny wheels, but believe it or not, I was quite a skateboarder as a kid, loved that sport, and did it all the way up until college, for that matter. And I probably would today, but I don't know if I would make it too far. So when I was a kid, I got my first skateboard. And this may have been a different time and place, but we used to skateboard down to the local 7-Eleven when Mom or Dad would give us a couple bucks for a treat, and we'd all skateboard down together. But the 7-Eleven owner, he didn't like us to bring our skateboards in. Now, I won't lie. We probably weren't always respectful with our skateboards, maybe a little loud, and didn't want us marking up his floors. So this time, I remember distinctly, he made us all leave our skateboards outside. When I came outside, my skateboard was gone. Now, I looked up, and I saw a familiar car, and I saw my skateboard in the hands of the driver of that car. Now, I knew who that person was, and I knew that I wasn't getting my skateboard back, and I didn't want to mess with him, that's for sure. And that's a whole other story. So I knew that my skateboard was gone. When someone has stolen something from us, it's not just about the item itself. There's something that goes along with that robbery, that being a victim of a thief. There's an emotional hurt. There's a violation of one's personal space. And there's just plain grief over losing something that you value or treasure. Not all the things that have been stolen in our lives are really important. But I can remember a few that I lost over the years that were stolen in one way or another that were treasured or important. Now, I know they're just possessions, and of course, we believe that possessions aren't the most important thing in the world, but let's be honest, especially when you're a kid, something as beautiful as the freedom to go where you want to go on your skateboard is just beautiful. Jesus talks a lot about this imagery of thieves and bandits, and who is the true gatekeeper and the true, let's say, Messiah. I think that's the language is not in there literally, but that's what we're talking about. The true Messiah who cares deeply about the people for the right reasons. When he's talking about the thieves and bandits, there's a lot of imagery. There's a lot of speculation about who he's referring to. We can argue all day long about, is he talking about the Pharisees and the leaders of the synagogue who were leading the people before he came? And of course, in his opinion, leading them astray and forgetting those who were marginalized, the poor, the orphans, the widows, and so on. Was he talking about the many messiahs that came before Jesus? Believe it or not, there were messiahs that came before him, those who claimed that they were the ones that were called to lead Israel to its final freedom from oppression. And he also may be talking about the Roman Empire itself, because remember, if you know your Roman history, the empire would conquer a people, and then they would promise them peace. But that peace came at a price. If you disagreed with them, if you did not pay their high taxes, if you did not agree to be a part of their machine, then you would end up right where Jesus ended up himself, an enemy of the state upon the cross. So that peace was not really a peace at all, but really another form of oppression disguised as true peace. But what Jesus is talking about is the one who brings something that we long for, I think, most in our lives, and that is true peace. He has this beautiful imagery of not only being the shepherd, but being the one that would open the gate, open this door, let's say, to a place of, I think the best word is sanctuary, a place of freedom and safety. Isn't that a beautiful phrase and concept for us right now, here in this place? Don't we all long to have a place that we can call free, a place we can call safe, a sanctuary? For many of us, we see our own homes as that place right now, but we know that all around us, the world is reeling with the desire to be safe. Safe from a virus, safe from the fear of not having enough food, safe from the harsh reality of unemployment and the distance between loved ones and church brothers and sisters in Christ that we're all experiencing. When we hear these words, we can fully understand how powerful they must have sounded to people that, like us, were longing for safety. They were longing someone to protect them from being robbed of their dignity, robbed of their freedom, robbed of their right to practice their religion, and so on. They were longing as a people, the people of Israel, to be free of an oppressive government that controlled them and leaders that conspired for their own gain, for power, for wealth, and so on. So when Jesus speaks of those, and he says in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them, he is speaking of all the false promises that this world offers, I believe. The governments like the Roman Empire that promise safety, but know that there is no such thing in this world. Right now, we live in what some might argue is the safest country in the world. But the reality is none of us are safe right in this moment, are we? In some ways. Not even our power, our wealth, our well-organized society, or our good intentions have been able to free us from experiencing what we are experiencing right now in this place. That's not to diminish wanting to create a good society, a responsible government, and responsible leaders that care for their people. But the reality is, no matter how good their intentions, this world is not the place where that can ever truly happen. And I know that's hard news to hear, and that's hard news for us to live in today. But when Jesus speaks to them back then, he's also speaking to us now, saying, I know you're in a place of suffering, that you are a victim of thieves and bandits, of those who give you false hope, of those who take away your dignity and belittle you, but I am the gatekeeper. As he said in verse 8, the sheep did not listen to those false prophets and the false messiahs and the false governments and empires, but they heard the words of Jesus. For they knew his voice. Just as we know the voice of God speaking to us, God knows the voice that we lift up to Jesus today. The petitions for healing for our world, for sustenance for those who are in need, for healing for those who are specifically fighting an unseen enemy that they never expected in this lifetime. It hurts to have things stolen from you, and Jesus knows that full well, but what he is saying here is that once he opens the gate, once you enter into faith and receive that gift of grace, and you walk through that gate, you know something, and he refers to it as pasture. Now, I can't say I know what it's like to be an animal out to pasture. But I look out from my property here at home, and I see cows right across the street in pasture all day long. And I have to tell you, I can't speak to the cows, but they don't look so sad. In fact, they look pretty happy indeed to be at pasture. When Jesus speaks of pasture, he is talking about a place of, perhaps the best word for it is solitude. A place of safety or sanctuary, any one of those words. Now, solitude is something I've been thinking about a lot lately because obviously we are in a place of distance. Now, you can look at that as a negative thing, and yes, it is so hard, but You know, for many centuries, there was a whole practice amongst the mystic Christians who would actually go out into desert places, go up into mountain retreats, sit by the ocean side seeking stillness and solitude. I hope and pray that even amidst our struggle to fight off loneliness and missing one another, we might find moments of appreciating that solitude can and will be a gift for many. But solitude is not always easy. Henri Nouwen, who I have mentioned many times and I revere and have read for years as a great teacher and pastor, used to use the phrase when he referred to solitude is that it is a furnace of transformation. Now, that doesn't exactly have the best connotation, does it? A furnace, something that burns something up of transformation. In other words, not always do we choose to go into solitude. Sometimes we are taken into it, dragging and screaming. And are we not in that place right now, in this moment? Are we not in a place where we have been taken, and I argue kicking and screaming, out of our normal lives, out of the things we enjoy doing, including gathering together for worship Sunday morning? As much as I enjoy Saturday evenings meditating upon the word and staring at my wall and trying to imagine you all with me, I really wish to be there in person. And I know you do too, to be with your friends, to celebrate together and give thanks for the gift of God. So not always do we go into solitude willingly, but as Nouwen told many times, that doesn't mean we will not be transformed. In the same way, when we look at the gospel narrative, Jesus speaks of transformation. Once the sheep find him, once they enter that gate, they will discover pasture, yes, safety, but they'll also discover what he says at the end. After he says that they will be free of fear from the thief coming to steal and kill and destroy, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Some of us have perhaps forgot what abundant life looks like because we are not able to do the things that we have done for so long, and I believe have taken for granted. I know I have. And so Jesus is offering something beautiful and beautiful indeed. Now there's something terrible about being afraid of losing something to a thief. Years ago when I lost my first skateboard, it was terrible to lose. It was not only a precious gift from someone I loved, but truly an activity and a form of freedom that bonded myself to my friends. But here's what happened at the end of that story. I went home and I told my parents the story. They were very upset. They were saddened. They knew that there was not much we could do to get that skateboard back. But sometime later, I think it was one either Christmas or my birthday rolled around, one of my favorite people in the world, my Aunt Paula, brought over a long wrapped gift that looked suspiciously like a skateboard with Santa Claus wrapping around it. And not only was it a skateboard, but it was an even better skateboard than the one I had. It was my first professional skateboard. My other one was probably one bought at, I know they don't exist anymore, you remember toy stores. I think it was Toys R Us, which was the most exciting thing that ever happened to my little farm town. It was just a cheap thing, but I loved it. But this was my first professional skateboard. It rolled so much better, it handled better, it was beautiful. I had that skateboard for as long as I could ride it until it literally fell apart and I had to save up for a new one, but it was an upgrade and more importantly, it was a gift from the heart. It replaced the feelings I had of pain, of grief, of being violated by someone taking something that you treasure, that belongs to you. Jesus promises us that though this world sometimes takes a lot from us, it cannot take away the voice of Christ in our mind, body, and spirit. It cannot take away the promise that Jesus is with us always, whether it be a time of pandemic, a time of war, a time of famine, a time of cancer treatments, or dementia, or any other of the dark moments that we encounter inevitably in this journey here in this world. It is a voice that reminds us that we are the sheep. The gate has been opened through the power of resurrection, and we have walked through it with him. Now we just journey together, serving him the best we can until the moment where the big gate is opened and we are called home. Now my hope and prayer is that you will find a way to do something that's very difficult right now, and to silence all the other voices that are going on in our heads in this moment in time. The voices that constantly bring us bad news, more things to be afraid of, more speculation about what the future may hold, more cataclysmic numbers and statistics, more stories of people responding with hoarding and taking instead of giving, even though we know that many more are giving indeed. More stories of people taking advantage of those who are vulnerable right now because they can. Those are voices that we can hear and things that we can see all around us. They've been there before, they will be there again, in good times, bad times, and everything in between. But there is one voice that we can always hear, louder than any of the others. Louder than the voice in our own head that says, I am so alone and tired and frustrated and don't know how to feel better. And that is the voice that says, it's going to be okay. For my sheep hear my voice. I am the gatekeeper, the shepherd. I will not lose even one of them to the one who steals, kills, and destroys. That's the promise that Jesus gives us on this day. I hope that the other voices will be muted in your spirit and you'll hear only that reassurance and hopefulness in your heart. Let us pray for that today. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we get to hear your voice in times of struggle, in times of suffering, in times of joy alike. We give thanks that you promise that no matter what this world throws at us or does to us, nothing can take us away from our good shepherd, the one who guides us and keeps us safe. Not one bit of our soul will be harmed, even though our body be broken in this life. Lord, we pray that you will bring hope, that you'll bring promise to those in need. We pray that you will comfort those who are hearing other voices, who are finding it difficult to get up each morning and see light in this dark time. May your peace be upon them, and may they hear your voice now, stirring within their souls, saying, it's going to be okay, and I am with you always. And all of God's children said, Amen.